acting all cool. Then I think, fuck it. Okay, fine, maybe a little. A huge smile flashes on her face. Gotcha. She points at me, and victory sparkles in her light blue eyes. Got me at what? I heard you like pranks, Josie told me. I crack up and shake my head in appreciation. Well done, I say, then slowly clap. You win at pulling my leg. I straighten out my left leg, and she does her best charade to yank it. I pretend she captured it, and she tugs harder at the air, my leg like a big fish she's captured. She grunts as she reels it in, then I set my foot down on the ground and knock fists with her. Seriously, dinner is on me tonight. It better always be on you, she says, then adds for emphasis, boss. Ah, there's that reminder. Anyway, she continues, I might have been pulling your leg, but everything I said is true. I never said I made the calls, and I do know all that because I did work for a phone sex company. I just wasn't an operator myself. I screened the girls who wanted to work for us, set up the schedules, made sure they were paid, logged all the calls. It was weirdly fun. And I'm weirdly impressed. I would never have pegged the phone sex business as part of Natalie's work history, but the way she describes it completely fits her organizational skills. She punches my bicep playfully. And I wasn't technically lying. You were technically entertaining the hell out of me, though. Good, she says with a bright smile. Want to know about more of my past jobs? I've had some interesting ones. Sure, I say, stretching out my long legs and thoroughly enjoying the legroom, not to mention the conversation. After the phone sex company, I worked as a pet pedicurist. That's a job. She nods, the look in her eyes intense. Hell yeah. And it's not a bad way to make a living. You have no idea what wealthy Manhattanites will pay to have someone come to their home and clip the chihuahua's claws. Why not stick with it, then? Shockingly, I didn't want to spend my entire life working on dog feet. Don't get me wrong, I love dogs, and paws are awesome, but when it started conflicting with my schedule at the dojo in the evenings, I had to let it go. I tap her knee. Which brings us to your true passion. Administering a sidekick to the head. She pretends to punch me in the chest, coming this close. Or the heart. Her eyes glint. For a flash, I see something in them. Or maybe it's just that her words feel like a warning, like she could really deliver a blow to my heart. I blink, then look away. She lowers her arm, placing her hands in her lap. I do love it, though. Her tone is calmer now, more serious than when she riffed on yiffing and feet, on paws and claws. Always have. Since you were little. My parents sent me to karate class when I was 6. I had a lot of energy and it was a great place for me to burn it off. I grew to love it. The techniques, the skills, and most of all the fact that you can always improve. She raises her eyes, meeting mine. In this moment, she seems to be shedding a layer that was between us. The boss-assistant one, maybe, as she ventures into more personal territory. I also really love teaching it. My favorite is the self-defense part. I really want to keep teaching women self-defense and using martial arts for that. I feel like it's this one special thing I can do, you know? Her voice is vulnerable, like she wants reassurance that her admission means something to me, that I'll treat it with care, and I will. I completely know what you mean. And I suspect you're fantastic at it. Don't get me wrong, I love working for your company too, and my job at WH is a fantastic one, she says. Then a soft smile curves her lips, spreading until it turns into a yawn, a huge, open-jawed yawn. She brings her hand to her mouth. I think I hear a gnat calling my name. A few minutes later, she's sound asleep in her seat. A little after that, her head slides to my shoulder. Then, when she's deep in REM, her upper body slouches down, 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 her head hitting my lap. And that's how I spend the rest of the flight with Natalie curled in my lap. Yes, it turns me on. Yes, I'm fucking aroused. And yes, my mind is filled with a reel of images of where her head could be if she woke up, shifted a few inches, and opened her mouth wide. I inch back in the seat, trying to give Natalie's face some distance from the family jewels. Soon enough, we begin the descent into Las Vegas. She wakes as we land and shoots straight up, her eyes darting all around, as if she's registering where she is as she comes to.
Did I?
She points at my legs. Sleep on my lap? She nods. Yes. Her eyes widen to saucer size.
Did I do that?
She points frantically at my crotch. Ah, fuck. She noticed the banana in my pocket. I cycle through a litany of potential excuses for sporting wood during her afternoon lap nap when my eyes follow her finger. It's not my dick she's pointing at. It's the wet spot on my jeans. The huge wet spot that could only be caused by... She brings a hand to her chest.
I'm so sorry I drooled on you.
I crack up. Sweetheart, you can drool on me anytime. She flashes an apologetic smile, then reaches into her back pocket for her phone, presumably. When she comes up empty, I peer around, spotting it on the floor by my feet, where it must have fallen while she slept. I reach down to grab it for her, and I do my best to look away, but I can't help but notice the end of a message from her sister that appears on the screen.
I knew you'd feel this way.
What way, I wonder? Chapter 6. The Eiffel Tower is a dwarf. The Ferris wheel spins like a miniature toy, and the roller coaster of New York, New York wraps around that casino like an architect's model. Up here, on the 22nd floor of Lila's husband's new palace, we are kings and queens of a city of royals. This building is one of the tallest in town. Surely it'll be a home for billboards soon enough, as high as the entire tower, beckoning tourists to glittery extravaganzas for the senses. For now, it's potentially the site of my next job. I'm still not entirely sure why Lila wants me rather than someone local, so I ask her. I've built a reputation on honesty. No need to change that now. She's next to me, her arms crossed, a look of pride in her eyes as she gazes at the expansive view of the city of sin from the floor-to-ceiling windows in her living room.
Do you like it? The place is lovely, but the kitchen is a mess, isn't it?
Lila waves her arm toward the red stove, the black cabinetry, and the emerald green countertop.
Can you turn it around?
Absolutely. We'll tie everything together and make it the centerpiece of the home you want. But I've got to ask, Mrs. Mayweather, why not find someone local? Any contractor would be glad to work in this gorgeous space. She turns to me, meets my eyes, and laughs politely.
You're sweet to say that. But do you know how hard it is to find someone you trust? To let them into your home, especially in a new city?
Her pitch rises, and she fidgets with her strand of pearls. From her unsaid words, I get the feeling Lila has encountered some bad apples previously.
There are so many predatory contractors disguised as your friend.
I almost want to knock fists in solidarity. Because do I ever know bad apples? My college girlfriend, Roxy, was the rottenest one of all, but I'd have never known it at the time. After graduation, she encouraged me to start a handyman business, became my biggest cheerleader, and helped brainstorm a business plan. When she walked away for some dude on Wall Street making bigger bank, she did everything she possibly could on her way out the door to tear off a chunk of WH Carpentry and Construction with her bare teeth and keep it for herself. She was like a koala bear who turned out to be an alligator. I nod at Lila, since I don't care for bad apples, alligators, or ex-girlfriends who hide their crazy far too well. I hear you. I appreciate you saying you can trust me, and I'm glad you feel that way. Means a lot.
Plus, you finished on time, and in Manhattan, none of my friends have found a single contractor who does.
She slashes her hand through the air and raises her chin, as if she's offended by the indignities her friends have suffered in this regard.
You're a rare breed, Wyatt, and the thing I need most is to finish on time, since I want to have this place ready to host a gala for one of my favorite charities. A local philanthropist, Sophie Winston, is going to help me set it up. Will it be too hard to manage the work from afar?
I turn around and drink in the layout once more. It's an open floor plan with copious space, a sunken living room, and gorgeous bedrooms. The style is modern and clean. White walls, simple furniture, and light hardwood floors. The kitchen, by contrast, is a mismatched mess, like a drunk monkey designed it while noshing on a spiked banana. Natalie strides out of the kitchen where she's been taking measurements. She exits purposefully, her closed laptop in her hands, scribbling on a notepad on top of the computer. "Hey, Natalie," I call out. "Think we can manage this job? We'll need an electrician and we'll need to find some local suppliers for parts."
"Actually," Lila says, holding up a finger to chime in, "you won't even have to do that. You can use all your regular suppliers in New York and fly everything out on my plane."
I rein in a grin. Jesus fucking Christ. She is a fairy godmother. She's trying to make all my work dreams come true. Natalie stands next to me.
"And when it comes to an electrician, I already have one. I talked to a friend who runs Edge, a nightclub here. He'll hook us up with his guy for the electrical, as well as anyone we need for other specialized jobs.
You just need to be here to do the labor," Natalie says to me. Then she turns to Lila.
"We can do it. I can manage it all remotely, and Wyatt can be on site to do the work. We'll make it happen."
"Wonderful. I'm so thrilled,"
Lila says, her grin as wide as the strip.
"This benefit is so important to me, and I want my home to shine. Do you have a sense if you can meet the budget?"
she asks, then tells me what she's willing to spend. The number has many zeros and nearly unhinges my jaw. "I don't think that should be a problem. Why don't we go work on an estimate, send it to you, and then..." Lila jumps in.
"And then I can sign off on it tonight."
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo indeed. Once inside the elevator, it's just Natalie and me, while Lila stays behind. The doors close with a soft whoosh, and I turn to my assistant. "Can I just say it now?"
"The part where you're giving me a 20% raise?"
she asks playfully. I laugh. Pretty sure I said 10%.
10%, 20%, what's the difference?
The car descends softly. "Seriously, though, I will need to pay you extra for this. It's a ton of work."
"Twist my arm," she says, and hands me her arm.
I pretend to torque it into a corkscrew.
"Ouch, ouch, ouch,"
she says, contorting her face. I let go. But officially, the answer is yes. The raise starts today, thanks to Lila.
Even though she hasn't officially signed off,
I wave a hand in the air. It's as good as a done deal. I offer her a hand to shake, and instead she throws her arms around me.
"Thank you so much,"
she says in the most heartfelt tone, her lips near my neck, her breasts snug to my chest, her fingers close to my hair.
"You're worth it," I say.
"And you smell fucking amazing, and you feel spectacular, and I am a motherfucking master of self-control because all I want to do is hit the stop button, hitch your leg around my hip, and screw you hard."
"I can do my videos now."
She pumps her fist in victory as we separate. "Videos?" Her entire face is animated. Her eyes are lit like sparklers.
"I just started working on a series of self-defense videos, like the kind you see on YouTube. I want them to be well-produced, and I think if they are, I can attract new students to my classes."
I smile. "Never knew that. That's fantastic. Are you shooting them yet, or still in the planning process?"
"I've made a few, but I need them to be a better quality. They're missing a certain something. I think I know what it is, but I don't have the funds to keep making them at the level I need,"
she says quickly. Then her tone switches, as if she's apologizing for her hopefulness.
"It probably sounds silly. My self-defense dreams..."
She gives a dismissive wave. I grab her arm. "No, it doesn't sound silly in the least. Dreams never are. Now you can go after them the way you want." She shoots me that smile that always disarms me, that hooks into my heart and threatens to wreak havoc with my life. It's such an honest smile. It says she's this totally straightforward person who lays it all out up front.
who doles out compliments, who shares in excitement, who doesn't hide who she is or what she wants. All of that from the curve of her lips, the way her blue eyes light up, how her entire face glows. Fuck, I'm getting lost in this one part of her, and I've got to get it together. To remember the alligators. The crazy alligators, even though I can't possibly put Natalie in that reptilian category. Still, once bitten, twice shy, so it's time to let these thoughts of her go. I start by releasing her arm. As we reach the ground floor and exit into the lobby, she says, I have to admit, I'll kind of miss seeing you around the office when you're out here for a few weeks working on Lila's home. And hell, if that comment doesn't hook into me even more. Before I can show off my mastery of self-control, the unfiltered portion of my brain wrests control. And you know what? I'll miss you too, I say. And it's not the horny aliens, it's just me. We reach the revolving door and head into the Vegas afternoon sun for the quick walk to the Bellagio. Natalie points in the direction we came. I think I cut you off earlier, when we first stepped into the elevator and you said, can I just say it? I laugh as she rewinds us back to what I'd been thinking as we left the penthouse. Just, holy shit. Lila is the most generous person I've ever met. She is generous, but you heard what she said. You've earned the right to her generosity. There's no teasing now in Natalie's tone, and her compliment reminds me what matters. Being a good guy. At work. In life. With women. I need to stop thinking of banging Natalie in elevators, and on that same note, of missing her. That's girlfriend-level stuff. Natalie is just an employee, nothing more. I look at my watch. It's nearly 4. Think there's any chance we can find a watering hole willing to service at this early hour? I joke, since it's Vegas, and round-the-clock drinking is not only possible, but encouraged. Absolutely. Let's grab something at the Bellagio. Sounds good. How about an early dinner, some drinks, and an estimate? See, I'm all work. And then maybe we can celebrate later and ride the roller coaster? I say yes, because all work and no play makes Wyatt a dull boy. Chapter 7. 5 hours later, Natalie shows me exactly where she wants to land a knife hand strike to my throat. And then, just to make sure you're down, I'd spin around like this, she says quickly, and executes a fast, low kick in the vicinity of my knee. But I'd totally kick you harder and you'd crash to the ground, she winks. That was just my bar kick. I shudder. I'd hate to run into you in a dark alley, Sensei Natalie. Whether you're bringing your bar kick or your karate chop to my neck. We're at a noisy bar with rock music at the New York Hotel, since the roller coaster is here. Natalie is already 2 drinks in. Mojitos are her choice tonight. She's been detailing exactly what she wants to do in her self-defense videos. Most of the time, she demonstrates the moves on me. Well, not like full demo where I'm flat on my ass, but she's been pretending to punch me. Maybe I'm a masochist, but I love it. Or maybe I'm simply an attention hog for this woman. Whatever the reason, the outcome is all good in my book. Her hand's on me. But then, everything is good right now, because the job is a big green go, and we are celebrating. We worked up an estimate when we returned to the Bellagio. Natalie emailed it to Lila. 30 minutes later, Lila wrote back with, Wonderful! The first check will be deposited on Monday. Which means a raise for Natalie and the path to expansion for me. It also means Natalie's racing along the highway to Buzzed, and I'm not too far behind her. She's changed from her work clothes. She wears a red skirt with some kind of surreal flower pattern, black heels, and a silky black top. The heels are hot, but flip-flops would have fit the bill too. See, I'm an everything guy. I don't have a particular type when it comes to women. Some gentlemen prefer blondes, some dig redheads, and some go bananas for women with exotic looks. Me? I'm an omnivore when it comes to the ladies, and I have a big, hearty appetite. Right now, though, with Natalie radiating energy and excitement, I'm thinking blonde with a side of spanking is my favorite. Maybe an appetizer of hot, hungry kisses, a main dish of hardcore fucking, and for dessert, we'd go for doubles. Shit. I went there again. I blink away the not-safe-for-work thoughts and try to come up with a generic topic to riff on to get my mind back into the good guy zone. Something that won't set my fantasies on fire. Maybe what invoices we need to file, or new tools to order. Possibly even what's next on the schedule after this new Vegas job. But I'm not in the mood to discuss work, so I flash onto something I read earlier in the week. As I'm about to tell her my favorite weird fact I learned recently, cats don't have collarbones like we do, which explains why they can squeeze into tiny openings the size of their heads. She moves in close to me as Bon Jovi plays on the sound system.
"Look over there," she says in a bare whisper. She's telling him all her furry fantasies.
I follow her gaze to a couple across the bar. The dude is Brooks Brothers all the way, from the navy suit to the loosened red tie. The woman appears to be a colleague, judging from the crisp white blouse, or maybe she's someone he just closed a business deal with. But with his arm draped over her shoulder, it sure looks as if he's going to close some other kind of deal. "His raccoon suit is up in his room," I say, since Natalie's game sounds like more fun than cat facts. I tip my forehead to a goth-looking woman with earplugs and the tattooed guy next to her, knocking back shots. She dresses up like little Bo Peep so he can spank her with a... fuck, what are they called? She rolls her eyes.
"Quiet,"
she says in a faux admonishing tone. "They're called crooks." I snap my fingers. "That's it. He smacks her ass with a crook." For a flash of a second, Natalie's breath seems to rush from her lips.
"Kinda sounds like fun,"
she says in a saucy tone, like maybe she'd want to play that sort of game.
"What if I lost my sheep?"
And evidently, she does. "Want me to help you find them?" The look in her eyes is inviting.
"Yes, but to find them, I need another drink. I want a vodka tonic this time," she says, and since the bartender is circling, I order two.
As he sets to work pouring, she parks her chin in her hand, looking straight at me.
"I love vodka tonic. Want to know why?"
"You bet I do." But before she can reveal the root of her love for this liquor, the phone dings from her purse, bleeding loudly enough to get our attention. She fishes around for it and clutches it close to her chest like a precious thing.
"It's Lila. At this rate, she's probably calling to say she wants to pay us even more."
"Fuck yeah. And I'll give you all the extra." I puff out my chest. "Because I'm a generous guy. See, I can treat her well, and I'm not even thinking of nailing her. This second, that is. 10 seconds ago, I totally was."
"I think I might love you," she says,
and blows me a kiss as the bartender delivers our round. She slides open the screen, and her expression transforms. Her lips curve down, and she lets out a long, never-ending,
"Oh, fuck."
Her eyes slip shut, and she swallows, then takes a breath.
"Fuck a duck,"
she says, but it doesn't sound cute or playful. She sounds frustrated. My heart pounds against my ribcage, and worry takes root. "What is it, Natalie?" I ask, reaching for her arm. She opens her eyes and speaks in a monotone.
"The job is canceled."
All the buzz leaks out of me. "For real?" "That just doesn't compute." She nods. "Are you kidding me?" I ask again, because this makes zero sense.
"I wish,"
she says flatly, then reads the screen aloud.
"Dear Natalie, I'm so sorry to be sending this, but Mr. Mayweather had a deal on another property that just went south. Sadly, I have to put the Vegas remodel on hold. I'm hopeful to return to it soon, and please know I can't wait to work with WH Carpentry and Construction on it. P.S. I'm taking the jet home right now to comfort him. I know it's not nearly the same, but I've arranged for first-class tickets on a commercial airline for you and Wyatt, leaving tomorrow afternoon. The tickets are in your email. I hope the service is sufficient. My best, and we will regroup soon.
Natalie drops the phone on the bar with a dejected clang, the sound resonating in my bones. Because, fuck a motherfucking flock of ducks. This stings. I grab the vodka tonic and down half in one big gulp. She does the same with hers.
I'm sad, Wyatt, she says, as those pretty lips droop once more.
And that does it for me. I can't stand the thought of this girl being sad. I want that smile back on her face, and I'm going to find a way to do it. I don't care about how this job loss makes me feel. I need to make Natalie happy again. And that will also take my mind off this shitty news. Hey, I say, gripping her shoulder. We're in Vegas. Let's make the best of it, okay? She sighs dejectedly. I park my hands on both her shoulders. Seriously, we'll figure this out. We'll make this work. I'll give you the raise regardless. But right now, right here, we have fun. Got it? She shakes her head.
You're sweet to say that, but you don't have to give me the raise. I know it was conditional on the Mayweather job.
No, I say, correcting her, holding her gaze. It was conditional on you being amazing at what you do, and that hasn't changed. We're not going to let one setback get us down. You've never been to Vegas before, and I promise to show you the sights. You name it. This town is yours, and we're doing whatever you want tonight. She shrugs, then waves a hand dismissively.
I should have known better. It was a ridiculous, overpaying, crazy job. It was too good to be true. There's no such thing as calorie-free chocolate or a guy who's funny, well-hung, and sweet.
I want to protest, but she's right, since no way am I sweet.
And the same is true for a client willing to pay 20% more for this job. They're all unicorns.
Natalie, it's not ridiculous. It's reasonable. You said it earlier. We're good at what we do. Lila knows that. This is just a snag. Deals fall apart. I've seen this happen time and time again in this business. Hell, Nick goes through this with his job. I'm sure your sister would say the same. I bet she and Spencer have had deals from suppliers that fell through. It's just the way it goes. We wanted it. It didn't happen. We move on. Since she hasn't agreed to my make-the-most-of-the-night proposition yet, I keep going. The determined mofo and me steering the ship. And no matter what, you still get a raise, so you can make your videos. And tonight, we're having the time of our life. Deal? Her lips twitch, and that's the hint I need to press on more. I won't give her a chance to be bummed. I search the bar quickly, and my eyes land on a middle-aged man in a turquoise tropical shirt and a woman wearing a matching one. I drop my hand from Natalie's shoulder, but lean in close and whisper,
"Handcuffs for the Hawaiian shirt duo. Tonight, he's cuffing her, and he's giving it to her good and hard against the bedpost in the flamingo."
"Yes," she whispers conspiratorially, picking up the thread like she can't resist this game.
"They've been married for 20 years, and they still do it every night."
"That's an interesting addition." I arch an eyebrow. "That sound like something you'd like, sweetheart?" She nods.
"Someday. Especially since my last boyfriend wasn't like..."
She cuts herself off.
"I shouldn't say it."
My curiosity is piqued. "No, you should say it. I want to know." She grabs her glass and takes another sip. "Tell me, Natalie. He wasn't like what?" She runs her fingertip along the rim of the glass, avoiding answering. I give her a pointed look. "Fess up. He didn't want to cuff you, spank you with a crook, do it every night?" "Because I'd cuff her. I'd tie her up. I'd spank her. I'd fuck her on all fours, in a car, on a plane, anywhere and everywhere and every night. No hang-ups for this guy."
"Fine. He wasn't very... interesting in bed."
And I'm hard, just like that, not because of her ex, but because of what this implies, that she is interesting in bed, and I'm very interested in interesting things happening between the sheets with her.
"And you prefer interesting, I take it?"
"Strange that I..."
she says with a wiggle of her eyebrows. At the least, prefer regular nookie. And I think handcuffs, doggy style, public sex, and spanking are just fine and dandy. She clasps a hand to her mouth and cringes. Shit. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Every single delicious word. I smirk. So, we have a deal? No more sad Natalie tonight? She exhales, nibbles on the corner of her lips, then grins playfully. As long as I can ride the roller coaster, it's a deal. You'll get your roller coaster, and you'll get the full Vegas experience. Nothing less, I say, holding out my hand. She takes it, and we shake. Full Vegas experience. One night, we're going to fit it all in. We'll go all out. She sweeps her arm grandly. Let loose. Throw caution to the wind, she says with a full wattage grin. She reaches for her vodka tonic, her elbow knocking her phone closer to me. Out of the corner of my eye, I see her text messages. The one from Lila is the most recent, but beneath it is one to Charlotte she must have opened after closing the Lila one, and the words flash temptation at me, like a line I shouldn't cross but will anyway. I want him so badly. And that's all I need to know. The words embolden me, and I return to what I'm pretty sure she was hinting at before Lila's message landed. I tap her glass. Tell me, why do you like vodka tonics? Guess, she says, inching close, her command a flirty invitation. Because of how it tastes on your lips when I kiss you? I ask, trying that on for size. She says one word. Yes. And before I know it, I'm kissing Natalie. Chapter 8. Let's back up. How did we get from not kissing to kissing? What was that turning point? Did she lean into me? Did I move closer to her? Details matter. I'll gladly share them. Start with 6 months of sexual tension. Add in 2 mojitos for her, 2 beers for me, and a couple vodka tonics. Stir that with some bad news on the business front, and top it with the cherry of Natalie's hit me over the head with a stick comment that left no question as to what she wanted. And here I am. We don't lean into each other. There's no inch by slow, sensual inch pull. It's not a slow burn. It's a fiery crash. We're 2 cars speeding on the highway of this night, and we slam into each other, crawl across the hoods, and kiss like crazy. Nothing is tentative about this. We go from not kissing to kissing in less than 60 nanoseconds. Yeah, I don't really know what a nanosecond is either, but it happens in no time. And now my hand is in her hair, yanking her close as we crush our lips together. We kiss hard and rough, fueled by pent-up desire and more than enough vodka and rum to make this inevitable. Her teeth scrape me, and I growl, loving her roughness. I suck hard on her bottom lip, and I'm rewarded by nearly the same sound from her. She's like a tiger, and together we're animals. I grip her head tighter, and her hands are all over me, in my hair, then down my chest, then along my arms. We kiss so deeply, it's like we're trying to climb each other. At some point she breaks off, breathes out hard, then whispers in my ear, I've wanted to do that for so long. Not as long as I have. Now get those lips back on mine, I tell her, and she complies. My hands cup her cheeks, but I'm not gentle, and she doesn't want me that way. She's not a gentle girl. She's badass and tough, and she wants what I want. I hold her face tightly in my hands, and she practically crawls into my lap in a rush to get closer, then closer still as she presses her tits against my chest. I'm seated on a stool at the bar, and we are putting on some kind of show. But I don't care. My tongue searches and hunts, wanting to taste every corner of her mouth, savoring the vodka and the tonic, and most of all, the Natalie. She whimpers and moans, and I swallow every sexy sound she makes. This stool is ours. This bar is ours. The night belongs to this kiss because it's not a starter kiss. It contains all the clues necessary to assemble the puzzle of where this night will end. With unwavering certainty, I know what kind of kiss this is. As I explore her mouth and she claims mine with equal urgency, I know that I will be fucking Natalie tonight. Somehow we make it out of the bar. I pay the bill, she grabs her purse and phone, and we stumble into the Big Ma of New York, New York. So, this whole Vegas experience. Her eyes are flirty, her voice is naughty, and her hips sway as she walks. Does the roller coaster come next? Now that's an invitation, if I've ever heard one. I RSVP to it. Let's ride it now. We're making the most of every single second in this town. I don't say the next part. That come Monday, we go back to normal. To work. Anything more than tonight is too risky, but I don't want to lay down ground rules now. I want to be in the moment tonight. Besides, the vodka is already telling my brain, who gives a crap about Monday? We do it all, I say instead, because that makes a hell of a lot more sense right now than thinking about consequences. Good. She grabs the neckline of my black t-shirt as we stop in front of Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, where patrons stuff footlongs and cheesesteaks in their mouths. Because I love roller coasters, she says, grinding against me in the bright light of the casino hallway, the plink, plink, plink of nearby slot machine payoffs, and the spinning of roulette wheels gliding through the air. I grasp her hips in my hands so she can feel the hard length of me against her. She gasps as she comes in contact with my hard-on. Then a sweet, sexy moan slips from her lips. Her reaction is priceless and perfect. How much do you love roller coasters? I ask. Just you wait till you hear me scream on the drop. Then you'll know how much. I raise an eyebrow. Sweetheart, I'm going to take you for a hell of a ride. Somehow, we pull apart. We walk and we kiss. We follow the signs for the ride and stop to make out on the way. I press her to the wall and kiss her neck, my stubble dragging against her soft skin. She moans when I do that, and her sounds drive me crazy. I want to hear all her murmurs and sexy cries be the reason she makes them, and then make her groan and moan again. We manage to traverse another 100 feet or so, then up the escalator where the entrance to the joint arcade and roller coaster looms near. But I need to touch her again, so I spin her around, back her up to the wall, and pin her wrists at her sides, pressing my body to hers and crushing her lips once more with mine. When I manage to pull away, I drag my mouth to her earlobe and bite. She lets out a soft yelp. Want you so much, I tell her. God, you have no idea. Being near you is torture. I've been dying to touch you. I told my sister when I got on that plane there was no way I could come here with you and not want you. She says it in a breathless rush, her admission perhaps fueled by liquor, and that's fine with me because I'm buzzed too. Not so buzzed, though, that the sliver of text messages I've spotted locks into place. It hits me. She's been texting her sister about me, telling Charlotte that being near me is torture. Then Charlotte replying that she knew Natalie would want to do this with me in Vegas, and fuck if that doesn't turn me on more. All my reasons to resist her have vanished. All my rules separating work and pleasure have crumbled to dust. This is temporary, a one-night-only kind of tryst as we make the most of this evening. I hope things won't be awkward in the morning, but hell, I can only think about now. Tomorrow is for tomorrow. We thread through the bright lights and flashing screens in the arcade and find our way to the line for the roller coaster. There are only a few people ahead of us. We won't have long, but I want the wait to be foreplay for her. I yank her against me, her back to my front, tugging her ass right against the outline of my hard cock. She leans her head against my shoulder, turns her mouth to my neck, and says my name in a purr. I whisper hers in her ear, and the way I say those three syllables seems to set her off. She pushes back into me, her sexy little ass rubbing up and down along my length. We are the fucking definition of PDA right now. We are the get-a-room people, but amazingly, no one says a thing. Vegas, baby. I love this town. My fingers play at the top of her skirt. Tell me how much you want this. I want to hear you say it.
How much I want to ride the roller coaster?
My hands dig into her hips. No, how much you want me to fuck you tonight. She spins around, her blue eyes meeting mine. She says nothing at first, just studies me. Her eyes darken with desire, and she never lets go of the stare. The air whooshes out of my lungs from the intensity of her gaze.
Wyatt Hammer, don't you know?
Don't I know what? I say, my voice a dry husk. Each word comes out of her mouth, dripping with desire.
I ache for you.
Never have four words sounded so hot when strung together. Even though we're not alone, we might as well be. I drop my lips to hers, and for the first time all night, I kiss her softly. It lasts for a second or two, then I whisper, "You're killing me here, Nat." Then it's our turn, and we untangle from each other as our group heads to the station with the string of yellow cars designed to look like taxicabs. I take no chances. I grab her hand and guide her purposefully to the last car. She slides in first, her skirt riding an inch or two up her thighs, revealing more of her smooth skin. I join her, and as soon as we're in place, my hand is on a mission. As the cars in front of us fill up, my fingers travel to the edge of her skirt and under, then up her thighs, between her legs to the damp panel of her panties, then inside.
"Oh, God,"
she gasps, and I have 2 minutes and 45 seconds to get her to say that again, and louder. Chapter 9. She spreads her legs for me, as far as she can, which isn't much, given the tight quarters of the car and the lap bar that has locked us securely in place. But as far as I need. She is slick and soft and so damn silky. My mouth waters because I bet she tastes amazing. The car groans its way out of the station, and I glide my fingers across all that fantastic fucking wetness. We're facing forward, and there's not much room to move, but all I need are hands and words. Even with a shoulder harness, I can turn my face to her, my mouth near her ear as we begin the climb. "You weren't lying, sweetheart," I say, as I slide my finger over the delicious rise of her clit.
"Lying," she says on a broken pant. "About what?"
"About the sweet torture of being near each other. This is sweet torture, indeed." She shakes her head, and a harsh breath falls from her lips.
"Not lying. Just really turned on."
"I can tell. My fingers are fucking coated in the evidence," I say, as I move faster over her clit. It practically throbs under the pad of my finger. Brisk night air greets us as the angle shifts and we begin the ascent. Gears grind. And metal screeches against metal as the long car climbs slowly. It feels like we're at a 45-degree angle. Hell, maybe we are. Somehow, it works for us. Natalie squirms and pushes against my fingers as we rise. I move faster while we chug slowly higher. I'm stroking her pussy, sliding firmly up and down her clit, following her cues. My gaze drifts to the padded lap bar. She grips it fiercely, like her life depends on it, or maybe just her pleasure. Even in this confined space, her hips rise to meet my fingers with urgency. I drag them up and down her, and she grows hotter, slicker, with each stroke. Somewhere in front of us, voices rip through the air. The wild words of anticipation, the expectation of the first big drop. But here, my only words are for her alone as I rasp in her ear. "I want to make you come so fucking hard."
"Oh, God, please. Yes, I want that,"
she moans as she pushes into my fingers. We close in on the crest, and I thrust two fingers inside her. She's tight and hot, and she clenches against me. Her head drops, to hide her moans, I guess, but it's hardly necessary. We are 200 feet in the air, and her groans are part of a chorus of sounds. Whoops, hollers, and the loudest sound of all, the crank of the wheels against the tracks. We hover at the top, all of Vegas spread out before us. Then the earth falls from us, and we plummet. She screams, a loud, wild, thrilling yell. Oh my God, yes, she cries out. Like that. Holy fuck. My voice joins hers as the car hurls through the night at the speed of light, and Natalie fucks my fingers. She's a live wire, and I know she's almost there, and that nothing in the entire world is going to stop me from getting her off right now. Desire and determination clutch me in equal measures as I work my fingers inside her while stroking her needy clit with another. Wild thing that she is, she manages to rock her hips into me, grinding and thrusting in the small space. She's just as fucking determined as I am. The urgent need to come is written in her face, in her eyelids squeezed shut. Rabid concentration is etched in her features. I center my strokes on her clit as she begs me with whimpers and groans to keep going, like I'd even consider stopping now. The hollers of the other riders fill the air as we race along a corkscrew section of the tracks, then blast into the loop. I'm such a horny bastard, but a lucky one too, and I'm going to send her soaring in seconds, judging from the way her mouth is a perfect O as she grinds her pelvis into my hand. Then she's shrieking, and it's not just an encouraging, you're almost there, keep doing it. It's a full-blown climax as we tip upside down. Oh my fucking God, oh my fucking God, oh my fucking God. Her pussy grips me tight as she comes on my fingers. She screams wildly as we fly through the rest of the ride. Soon her cries morph from orgasmic to joyful at the thrill of the roller coaster. As the ride slows, she dips her head and blazes a trail of kisses up my neck as we rattle into the station, finishing them off with a nip of my earlobe. And a whisper just for me. I can't believe we did that. That was crazy, but crazy good. So fucking good, I say. Yeah, being bad is so much better. When the car stops and the bars rise, I offer her a hand and help her out. The couple in front of us turns around, and it's the man and woman in matching Hawaiian shirts. The woman gives Natalie a wink, then me a thumbs up. Natalie buries her face in my shoulder, but I go with it, giving them a quick wave. They don't call it a joyride for nothing, I call out. That's for damn sure, the man says with a proud note in his voice, like he's christened the back car of an amusement park ride at some point or other. Once we're inside, Natalie pulls me close and wraps her arms around my neck. She doesn't say anything. She just smiles goofily at me.
Hi.
Hey there.
That was...
Her voice trails off. Maybe she can't find the words, but the rosy glow in her cheeks and the satisfied glint in her blue eyes is enough for me. Interesting, I suggest.
It was so very interesting.
I bet it gets even more interesting. We resume our path, then she stops in her tracks and points.
Look!
I follow her finger, and a smile spreads as I spot our picture on the screen behind the counter. So that's what we would call your O face. She swats my shoulder. I grab my wallet from my back pocket, fish out a 20, and point past the woman at the counter to the screen. Number 16, please, I say, then wink at Natalie. Her forehead is in her palm. 16 is the sweetest number. The cheerful brunette with pigtails and red glasses smiles from the photo counter.
It sure is, and your sweet 16 will be ready in a jiff. The print takes only 45 seconds and comes with a lovely cardboard frame. Would you like it laminated, too?
I pretend to consider this. Hmm. What do you think, Nat? Should we laminate the moment? She raises her face. Her eyes are fiery.
No, thank you, she says to the cheery girl. A cardboard frame is just fine.
The girl hands me a bag and 2 5x7 close-ups of Natalie and me screaming as we flew down the tracks. As we wander out, I study them. I suppose technically we can't be certain this is the exact moment when you came, I muse as I show her the picture. She shoots me a stare. It's close enough. Close is only good in horseshoes, not orgasms. I mean, do we know for certain this is the moment of triumph? Should we do it again to be safe? She rolls her eyes. Did you really need to buy that to mock me? I stop her, grabbing her arm. I never mock orgasms. I take your pleasure seriously.
I know, she whispers.
Do you want me to throw them out? I will.
She softens.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
My eyes swing downward, in the direction of my crotch. You've been giving me a hard time for a long while, sweetheart.
You are the king of puns.
And you are the queen of the roller coaster O-face. But seriously, I won't show this to anyone if you don't want me to.
Even if I wasn't about to blast off into the stratosphere of toe-curling bliss, would you honestly show that photo around? We both look like screaming idiots.
She grabs it and holds it up for me, then imitates our expressions. Eyes wide, mouths open, shrieking as the coaster flew along the tracks. I shrug. Call me crazy, but I like it. I'm going to keep them. Then I grab the waistband of her skirt and tug her back to me as we pass a shoot-'em-up arcade game. Speaking of toe-curling bliss, I need to tell you that you look hot when you're coming and you look hot when you're not coming. So you're pretty much hot all the time, okay? She beams, and the look on her face, utter delight, does funny things to my chest. So does her voice when she answers with a simple, thank you. Then she adds, I guess this would be a good time to let you know I brought along a gift for you. Only I purchased it before we even left Manhattan.
Color me intrigued.
She dips her hand into her purse, fishes around, and grabs something that she presses into my hand. The foil wrapper and the rubber ring send a bolt of heat through me.
You're presumptuous.
She shrugs a shoulder. But am I wrong?
Chapter 10. I'm a man with a one-track mind right now. Since we aren't staying at this hotel, and since I need this woman like I need my next breath, I hunt. With her hand in mine, I walk purposefully through the arcade, scanning, searching. Maybe there's a bathroom nearby, or a quiet nook, possibly a photo booth. I've always thought those are underrated hidden gems perfect for a little public action. And you'd get a souvenir photo strip, too. Then I spot a black velvet curtain near the exit of the arcade that gives me an idea. You never know what lurks behind a curtain. Possibly enough privacy. I lift it, and luck be a curtain tonight, there's some kind of storage area behind it. It's filled with out-of-commission arcade games and pinball machines. I let the heavy material fall behind us.
You're not wrong, I say, and I kiss her again. The vodka tonic is fainter now on her lips, but the aftertaste is there, reminding me that her boldness is fueled by Bacardi and Belvedere. But that's okay. If it weren't for the liquid courage, I wouldn't be here either, lifting my sexy-as-fuck assistant onto a broken Metallica pinball machine. Her hands are up my shirt in seconds.
I've wanted this for so long.
Yeah? I ask, inviting more, because her words are the biggest fucking turn-on of my life. Her fingers play with the grooves in my abs. I shudder as she touches me.
Sometimes when you come into the office, I check you out, she says in a low, sexy voice.
Like my hair? I joke. You check out my hair, you mean? She moves in close and bites my jaw.
Your dick, Wyatt.
My skin sizzles as I spread her legs.
You pervert. I look at your arms and your waist, then I can't help myself. I check out your dick. Do you know you get hard at work?
I laugh loudly. Gee, I wonder why. Could it be the scenery? Maybe the stone-cold fox at the front desk? She chuckles too.
I knew you were looking at me like you wanted to fuck me. I looked at you the same way, and all I could think was how well hung you are. She wiggles her eyebrows, then laughs louder. That sounds so 70s porn, doesn't it? Didn't you know I used to star in 70s style porn? She drags her index finger over my top lip. Did you have a stash? I nod. A proper porn stash. I wore super tight jeans that flared at the bottoms, especially when I played the pool guy or the pizza delivery man. She hums her approval. Maybe you can bring your VHS collection over some night and we'll catch up on your greatest hits. Did they call you well hung? Not only did they call me well hung, I had a whole series under that name. I dropped my voice to an admonishing whisper. But honestly, Natalie, don't you know? They were all beta tapes. Make sure you have a Betamax machine for our movie and popcorn bow chicka wow wow night. I tug her to the edge of the pinball machine and bring her hands to the waistband of my jeans. Now I'm serious. No more joking. That's what you were doing all those times? Wondering how it would feel to wrap your hands around my cock? She nods, her eyes shining with desire. Sometimes I'd go home and just think about what it would be like to unbutton your jeans, slide my hands into your boxers, and feel you in my hand. Jesus Christ. Wildfire sparks in my veins, spreads through my blood, and just fucking ignites me with more desire than I've ever felt in my life. Then find out, I say, dragging her hands along the button, popping it open, and guiding her fingers down the zipper. Do it. Touch my dick. Her eyes are hungry, as if she's about to have her biggest fantasy come true. Same for me. I'm about to fuck my Natalie. I push my briefs down, and when my cock springs free, Natalie's eyes widen. Her mouth falls open. I was right, she whispers, and then opens her legs wider as she wraps a soft hand around my cock. I hiss from the delicious fire of her touch. She rubs me up and down, her hands sliding along the long, hard, thick length of me. I nudge her legs wider as she plays. The look in her eyes is good enough to photograph. I want to remember it for a long time. Her irises are hazy with lust, and she gazes at my cock as she strokes. She touches me like she's measuring it, weighing my dick in her hand, and I know she's satisfied. Maybe that sounds cocky, but I don't mean it that way. If she's pleased, it's because we've just admitted that we want each other with the same wild abandon, that we've both been longing for the other in the same dirty way. And that's what's so goddamn rewarding about finally touching the person you crave. It's in knowing you're both in the game, equal stakes. She squeezes my dick hard, then rubs higher, running her fingertip over the head. I stretch my neck back, and a rumble works its way up my chest. Fuck, Natalie. I need to be inside you, and I need it right the fuck now. She opens the wrapper and hands the condom to me, and 10 seconds later, I'm gloved up and ready for business. I scoot her an inch or two closer, position my cock at her entrance, and then push in. My brain shuts down the second my dick comes in contact with her hot, wet center. I'm only feeling. It's a catalog of spine-crackling sensations, the hot tightness, the slick wetness of her arousal that makes it so goddamn easy to slide into her, the snug fit of my dick in her pussy, how it feels like my entire body is plugged in, like I'm amped up and supercharged, because this is how a first time with someone should be. Absolutely mind-blowing. When we lock eyes, the pleasure moves up another level to out of this world. It's so fucking intense, the way we look at each other, the connection that crackles between us. You are... I don't even know what I'm trying to say. So are you. My skin sizzles from head to toe. The hair on my arm stands on end. Fuck, my nipples are hard too. I'm aroused everywhere. She wraps her legs around my ass, hooking her ankles together, pulling me deeper. I fill her completely, my shaft coated in her all the way to the base, and I don't think my dick has ever been in a happier place. Her arms loop around my neck, and I hold her hips tight. Like that, I fuck her. It's not a slow, lingering session.